Now, for a few minutes tonight, I direct your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. This will serve as the basis of our study, and if you have access to a Bible, open and let us study together. This is one of Paul's prison epistles. This is just before his execution. And he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is a charge that Paul gives to Timothy. This word charge simply means an earnest plea. And we see the solemnity of this charge when he says, I charge thee before God, the presence of the Lord, and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. In view of God's presence, the coming of Jesus Christ and the judgment, Paul says, preach the word. Now the contents of preaching, and it should be that of every individual who endeavors to preach, is the word of God. Preach the word. And I feel that the older I get, that this needs to be indelibly impressed upon the minds and hearts of young preachers, to fill their minds with the Bible. Read the Bible, study the Bible more than any other book, and then preach it. Now, preach the word is just another expression for preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's also spoken of in the scriptures as the truth. The word of God is, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. In 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, scripture, all scripture, that's the word of God, is given by inspiration. And oracles of God in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. It's called the word of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. It's called or spoken of as the cross in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. These are various expressions for the same message, ladies and gentlemen. And whether it be the cross or Christ or truth or the word or the oracles or whatever, we as Christians, especially preachers, are to preach the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that God has to save our souls eternally, is the word. Peter said in John the 6th chapter and verse 68, when Jesus looked to the disciples after the multitudes left him, and he said to his disciples, do you also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of life. So, in this book, the Bible, in the gospel particularly, we find the words of life. And Paul said to Timothy, you preach the word. Now, there's a way to preach the word. He discusses the manner that the word of God is to be heralded or proclaimed. He says, Timothy, you be instant in season, and out of season. You be ready. You be constant in preaching the word. Be prepared and preach it when it's convenient, and make opportunities to preach it when it's inconvenient. I remember hearing the story years ago. I don't know whether it was George DeHoff or who, but he called up a friend of his, happened to be a black preacher. And George disguised his voice a little bit, and he carried him along for a little while. He said, "Now, I want to know if you are willing or ready to defend and debate what you believe." And the story goes, that black preacher said, "I stays ready." Well, a preacher is to stay ready. He's to prepare and equip himself. And so Paul said to Timothy, "You be ready." You remember Paul in Romans chapter 1. He said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." We ought to be ready wherever it is. So be instant, in season, out of season. And then he says, "Now, Timothy, you reprove and you rebuke and you exhort." Well, that word reprove means to convince or to convict or to show. In fact, this word is translated in Matthew 18, verse 15, to show in his fault. And it means to expose. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 is translated expose in the Revised Standard Version. "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Or the Revised Version says, "expose them." Now, as a preacher, false doctrine, erroneous teaching, is to be exposed. A man who is espousing it is to be convinced. We're to show him what the truth is. And Timothy, you go out here and you convince, you show, you expose the false teachers. Try to win him the truth if you can. Then he says, you rebuke. Well, that means to reprimand. And here's a person who's a sinner. I believe this is an individual who knows better. He's in sin, and he needs to be reprimanded. He needs to be rebuked. And then he says, you exhort. You encourage. You admonish. You know, one of the things said about Barnabas was that he was an exhorter. And there's a need, ladies and gentlemen, in the church for us to exhort and admonish and encourage people. We can't constantly or always be rebuking. We can't continually be reproving. We have got to exhort. We've got to feed the hearts and minds of individuals. And sometimes our preaching can get out of kilter and become lopsided. And we zero in on one issue and we ride it to death instead of trying to feed the congregation or the listeners a balanced diet. And preaching needs to be balanced. In other words, we need to adapt our preaching to the needs of the hearers. And whatever they need, if they need reproving, reprove. If they need rebuking, rebuke. If they need exhorting, exhort them, Paul said to Timothy, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, a preacher, a Christian, should develop patience. There are individuals who are ignorant. They don't know what you may know or I may know because they haven't had the opportunity or haven't taken it to study the scriptures. There are people, friend, that are steeped in religious error that if we were in their shoes, we would have the same outlook on things, and we have to learn to be patient with them. They're sincere. A lot of people are sincere, and they look at these passages that we say are plain and clear through tinted or colored glasses. And they read into things, into the scriptures that really is not there because of their preconceived notions. So we have to be patient with some of those people. And there are others who are obstinate. And as a preacher, we need to learn to be gentle as a servant of Jesus Christ, as taught in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's a lesson that all of us need to learn. With all long-suffering and doctrine. This, brethren, is the manner or the method that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be preached. Now, He gives the reason or the purpose for preaching the word, rebuking, reproving, exhorting. And he says there's going to come a time that they will not endure sound doctrine. And what he's saying is, Timothy, you strike while the iron is hot. You know, when the horse is already out of the barn, it's too late to close the door. You get people prepared. You forearm them. You equip them. Because if you don't, there's coming a time that they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They'll be led away. They'll be deceived. Enduring means to bear with, is really to receive. They will not endure implies that there's to be an enduring. And brethren, every one of us has to endure sound doctrine. And I've endured some a lot, and I know you have too. And it's not always the most pleasant thing in the world to receive it or bear it or endure it, is it? Especially when it gets on my toes. Huh? Now, if it's talking about that other fella, then that's a different story. But if it's directed right at me, and I'm the one who needs to adjust my life and bring it into harmony or conformity with the Word of God, then I've got to endure that. But he says, now, they're not always going to endure sound doctrine. And this word sound means healthy or wholesome. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is healthy for the soul. It's wholesome for the soul. And we need, as preachers, to preach sound, healthy doctrine. Now, doctrine can be classified in two divisions, brethren. One is what we might call abstract. I see in these books that I read that the Word of God sometimes is doctrinal and other times classified as practical. Well, the abstract doesn't cause a whole lot of furor among us. We can talk about the divinity of Jesus. That's an abstract thing. We can talk about justification. We can talk maybe about sanctification. But if we get into the practical teaching and make the application, then a lot of times people won't endure that. Wholesome doctrine is much broader, ladies and gentlemen, than just the abstract aspect of the gospel. That's part of it indeed. But here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And he talks about how the old men are to live, that they're to be grave and sober and temperate and have patience. And the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary mind or part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now here's where we get into trouble. People will tolerate that part of preaching that does not affect their lives. But you get down to telling individuals how to live and how to conduct themselves and how to dress and what movie to go to or not to go to and what book to read or not to read, then we say the fat's in the fire. Huh? We're getting to the place now that many of us are not ready and willing to accept sound doctrine. Now you take a preacher, can preach truth, he can preach facts, and he can enlighten our hearts from that standpoint and never deal with our lives, everyday lives. And I want to tell you what we need, brethren. We need more than just illumination of facts. We need to preach that we can change the hearts and lives of people and transform ourselves into the image of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think sound preaching, sound doctrine, is that I'm right on the plan of salvation, the five acts of worship, and the issues that are confronting us. Well, those are important, and I wouldn't minimize them for one moment. But it's much bigger and broader than that. And we need to deal today in this old permissive society in which we live on the responsibilities of husbands to their wives and wives to their husbands. And parents to children and children to parents as to how we're to conduct and behave ourselves in these relationships. And I want to tell you, brethren, we need to deal with the obligations of the family, of society in general, my relationship to my neighbor, to the government, to my job, wherever. These are practical things. And this becomes sound doctrine. But he said they won't endure it. The time's going to come. They're not going to tolerate it. And what they're going to do is they're going to find them some preachers that will tickle their ears. And you can find those kinds of preachers. They're around everywhere. Jesus had to deal with this type in his personal ministry. And so do we in the 20th century. You go back under the Old Testament. They had the same kind of problem. People were looking for the same type of prophet or preacher or teacher, as Paul to Timothy here characterizes. In the 30th chapter and verse 10 of Isaiah, which say to the seers, as the people would ask, see not. Don't you look at my sin. See not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Don't you speak the truth. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. So you know, they said, don't tell us the truth. You make us feel good. I read this statement, and it's so true, brethren, that in preaching, we should not comfort the afflicted in sin, but we should afflict the comforted. The point is that we should make it comfortable, satisfying for those who are living in sin as we proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but expose the error, let them see where they stand in the sight of God, and call them to repentance. That's the obligation, responsibility of a gospel preacher. When he gets in the pulpit, his business is to preach the Word of God. And you have the right to hear what God has to say. Now in the 56th chapter of Isaiah, verses 10 and 11. His watchmen are blind. Now you just think of a watchman up on the wall who's blind. We got a lot of blind preachers. His watchmen are blind. Talk about these false prophets, these false teachers. They are all ignorant. They don't know the Word of God. They are all dumb dogs. Well, that word dumb means mute. Now, a dog is to bark and let you know that someone is approaching or somebody is in the vicinity. But here are these preachers, instead of warning the people of God as to what the danger was, they were as dumb dogs, mute, ignorant of God's will, and blind, as they sat in the wall of Zion, in trying to look out for the perverters of truth, those who would lead their souls to destruction. He says they cannot bark. That's an interesting statement. They cannot bark. They're mute, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, taking it easy. We got a lot of these kind of preachers today, ladies and gentlemen, that are out for hire. Did you hear me? That no way whatsoever would expose sin or condemn error. They make everybody feel good personally. And we have the idea today that you go to church always to feel good. I want to tell you something. That's so to a certain extent. But if I'm living in sin, I shouldn't feel comfortable after having been there until I repent and correct my wrong before God Almighty. I believe that with all my heart. We should afflict the comfortable those in sin. Now they won't endure this, Paul said. And I tell you what happens when a preacher gets a little bit too hot. I tell you what some will do. They'll come around maybe to the elders and say, you know, I think he's been here long enough. Isn't that right? And they convince the elders that they maybe need to make a change. And maybe they do sometimes. I'm not trying to say that it needs to be prolonged. But the thing is, everything was fine until he started. Instead, he started meddling. It's like the old preacher years ago. As the story goes, he began to preach, amen, brother, amen, brother. Then he went along a little bit farther, and he got talking about snuff and tobacco. He got just as silent as a tube. One lady, like about halfway, who liked to dip her snuff, said, you know what? He said, that preacher's quit preaching God the meddling. Well, we get the man and we say he's meddling. And so we no longer want him. And if we can't get rid of the preacher, then we'll move off down the highway or across town and go to church over there. We're going to find us a preacher that will suit our lifestyle. And brother, you can find them. If you want to live in sin and be married three or four times, divorce and put away your mate and live in adultery, you'll find some preacher that will endorse and sanction that. If you want to gamble, if you want to live in moral degradation, do as you please, go where you want to, come to church whenever you want, you'll find some preacher that will sanction that. And I'll tell you what we need, brethren, and I believe it. We need a revival in the church where we've got something that we stand on. We know what we believe. We know where we stand. We know what the absolutes are. And we adhere to those. And we try to bring people to them. And if they're not willing to conform to God's standard, absolute moral and spiritual standards, then he has no place in our fellowship. We've got to keep it up there. I know there's a time to grow. I know there's weaknesses. I know people are flawed. I want to tell you, friend, if we have to be perfect, none of us are going to make it. But I want to tell you something. There is a norm. There is a standard. There is a criteria. And we're trying to live up to that as much as humanly possible. I want to tell you today, Protestantism is sick, and so is Catholicism. And people are groping. They're looking. They're on the sea without a rudder, without a compass, and they're wanting something that's fixed and settled. I want to know what to believe. I want something to cling to. And we can give it to them, bless your hearts, if we don't compromise and say, listen, we're interested in the crowd and the money. We'll do anything to fill it up. We can fill it up anyway. By the truth of God, it will just hold fast unto it. Listen, 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, Paul said to Timothy, hold fast to the form of sound words. We got to hold to it, grasp it. We got to have something that's steadfast and stable. And we can hold it up to the world. Come on to Christ. Come on to God. Here's something that he offers that you can sink your teeth in and plant your feet upon. But they're not going to endure sound doctrine. And so they have teachers to scratch their ears, to teach them what they want to hear, and turn aside from truth unto fables, maybe Judaistic or Gnostic, I don't know which, but tradition, allegorical interpretations, and error in general, they turn unto it and embrace it. What are we going to do as I close tonight? We're going to have to preach the gospel, preach the word of God. And as members of the church, we won't permit anything else.
We demanded of our preachers that you preach the word, that you feed us on the word of the Lord. And we help hold the hands up of those who are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that it's the only thing, the word of the Lord, that will save the souls of men and women. Preach the word, this solemn charge that Paul gives to Timothy. Let me tell you something, neighbor. The hope, the security, the future of the church depends upon the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Learn from Paul and Peter and John and James. Learn from great men of old, of the prophets. Learn what we can do when we go out in the world and preach the truth, preach the gospel. Learn how to preach what to preach, and not from these modern preachers like Schuller and Norman Vincent Peale. That isn't where we go to learn to preach the gospel. We go back under to the old book, the inspired word of God, and learn how men preached it and how they preached it, and try to cultivate that in our lives and exemplify them as we set out. Herald the unsearchable riches of Christ. I talked long enough. If you're not, it's not unsaved. Will you come and give God your heart right now and comply with His will? Jesus will save you, remit your sins, wash you clean with His blood if you will meet His condition. Baptistry's filled, everything is ready, change your garments, and to make up your mind. Come tonight, say, I want to be a Christian. I want to be baptized. I want to start living for Him who died for me, who's coming again to judge the world. If you're an unfaithful member of the church, or if you sin in this public, why not come tonight and let us pray God will hold you and you leave the building with peace and heart, joy and soul, while the devil is saved.